You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Sam Tweedle.
And I'm Chris Gilpin.
And this is Hey Kids Comics. Thank you for coming back and joining us for another wonderful hour of us talking about stuff.
Yeah.
So, Dan,
yes.
Do you know what me and Chris did tonight?
You moved some long boxes.
We moved. How many long boxes did we move tonight, Chris?
I think it was 18.
18? Was so. It 18?
17?
Chris is like, I don't know. 18 long boxes. They weighed 22 pounds each.
I think I only had 16 long boxes. How did it turn into 18 long boxes?
Let's see. It wasn't 18 because I had 10, 11.
Did you guys do some 13. Shopping while you were doing it?
No.
13 in my car, 3 in yours. So yeah, that was 16.
And then I have short box. And then I have 5 more boxes at home.
Oh,
how
right.
is
okay.
that? How is that a thing?
That's all. So,
somehow
happens.
My comic collection, like between when I talked to Chris the other day to talk him into doing this with me, and today. Like they're like bunnies. They actually like transformed into 5 additional long boxes somehow. So,
you know how that happened?
How's that happen?
Is you looked around your apartment and went, oh, better put these comics in something to transport them, and that's like 5 long boxes of comics that are lying around your apartment.
I guess so.
Like that would literally describe my apartment at the moment.
So yes, everybody, I'm moving. I've been living at my apartment for 10 years, and because of, honestly, I haven't talked about it too much, but my landlord, who's not a bad guy, but he has an elderly father that's been eyeballing my place for about 5 years because it's come up. He is moving his elderly father in, which is legal in Canada. I worked in housing for 4 years before I worked at my current job. So I know the in and outs of housing, and my landlord knows I know the in and outs of housing. So trust me, he had that paperwork filed pretty darn good. Because I went over it pretty darn thorough, and it was like, wow, this is legal. But sometimes the universe pushes you in a certain direction, and my new place is awesome. I found it very fast. I found it within a few days, but it's going to be, and I'm even moving in early. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to get out of my home for 10 years. So Chris saw it tonight. He was the first person to see my new place.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, eh? Dan, I can't wait to show it to you. I might have a little. I'm not having a big party, but I'm going to have small little parties with my different groups of friends. I'm not going to mix my friends together. You ever notice when you mix friends together, it's always a disaster?
It's like how you have friends at work, but then when you have them like over for something and mix them with your like friends who are comic book friends, you're like, oh, I'm standing in the middle of two groups of people.
Yeah. No. I'm actually probably going to do 5 different housewarming parties.
Oh, trust me, boys. You're going to have that exact same feeling in October, so.
But is it in October you're getting married?
Yeah.
I thought it was October next year.
No, that's what it was last year. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I have, like, till October to get a date.
So please.
Wow. Do you think Tabitha would go with me, Dan?
Probably not. She's probably going to go with me.
Well, at least she'll be there.
Probably.
At least I'll get, like, one dance out of her. Maybe. Probably not.
So my only concern now is, excuse me, on the next full moon if I'm going to turn into a cat because Mr. Tibbs took a good chunk out of my thumb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, pet.
So my cat, Mr. Tibbs, he's a really good boy. He is a good boy.
He is. He was just playing around.
He was playing, but he plays rough. And it's
me
like
too blood. So
look,
I mean,
look at my hands.
I know they're
look at my hands. But it's getting to the point now where he doesn't realize that he shouldn't do that to company.
Yeah,
and
took my thumb off him.
Everybody who comes over gets a little scratched by Mr. Tippett. You notice how he was just like, he was playing.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't being mean.
I mean, if he didn't have claws, he'd kind of be cute, but...
No.
Since he drew blood,
he did it. He did it to Amy. He did it to me. Does your cat do that?
My cat is an absolute sweetheart.
Mr. Chips is a sweetheart.
However, I do have the scratch because we had to take her to the vet yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And,
how's she doing?
She's doing okay. She had some worms.
Oh, yeah.
So we just had to take her in and get some medication and stuff.
Well, I hope she's feeling up and
she's
good.
She's feeling good now, but yeah, she had not been in the cat carrier since we brought her home.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, trying to get her in that thing, it was a disaster. Now, she doesn't mind so much now that she realizes we're not taking her, like, away for good, mm-hmm. you know. First time, oh boy.
But you know, Chris, if you do turn into a large cat, you can come and live at my place.
All right.
Just
he's got
you
a
know.
Litter box for you.
So we moved my comic collection. I don't know. There was something about the comic collection that I had a bunch of anxiety about moving. And you know, I realized what it was tonight. Out of all the stuff that I have to move, which means the movers will not be moving, mm-hmm. that is the heaviest thing.
Oh, for sure.
So we moved the heaviest, hardest thing for us to move, we did tonight. Mm-hmm. And thank you. So maybe that's where that anxiety came in.
Yeah.
You know, although I still have 5 long boxes to still move. But anyway.
5 long boxes, that's nothing.
That's nothing. So what do you do next Friday, Chris? No, I'll actually be preparing for my trip to Toronto next. Yes. I am going, even though I'm in the middle of moving, I wasn't going to go, but Ken Wheaton talked me into it. Mm. So I am going to hang out with Ken for the weekend. So
it's good. Yeah. I won't be going, unfortunately.
Well, if you need anything signed, you just let me know.
I might get you to pick up a couple prints from Hugh Rookwood.
That sounds good. Yeah.
He's done up some Green Lantern. I don't know if you guys have seen his Green Lantern.
I have not.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Anyways, I know you really, really want to talk about something, but let's do some comic stuff.
Let's do some comic stuff first.
All right.
Because trust me, it's going to be Ranty McSamerson tonight. Yeah. So it'll be interesting.
It was an interesting week last week. Luke Perry. I mean, we could talk
about that. Man.
That's extremely sad.
Man, you know, I met Luke Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And, just briefly, and I'm going to tell you something. When I met him, he was as cool as you'd expect him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I met Luke Perry and Jason Priestley on the same day.
Yeah, because they were at Fan Expo.
They were at Fan Expo. Right? And Priestley was like the nice one.
Yeah.
But Luke Perry just had that kind of cool bad boy. Like, I mean, he was Dylan McKay. Mm-hmm. And I was very impressed. And as a teenager, I did watch 902 when I was a teenager. I was a fan of the series.
Yeah, I
had the biggest crush on Shannon Doherty. I still have my Shannon Doherty poster. Yeah. Maybe I'll hang it up in my new apartment. Yeah, I probably will not. But I still have it. I was very impressed by him when I was a kid, both mm-hmm. him and Luke Perry. And I thought they were cool. And when I met Luke Perry, I thought he was cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met him, but he always seemed like a decent guy. He does have a connection to, I don't know, our world, which I guess...
Riverdale.
Buffy.
Oh, Buffy.
Right? He was in the original
Buffy, the
movie, not the TV show, but the movie spawned the TV show.
But let me tell you something. Can I just interrupt for a second? The dumbest headline I saw this week on the interwebs...
Oh, I think I know. Yeah.
...was where I saw someone wrote down Buffy and Riverdale star... Luke Perry dies. And it's like, oh my god, that's like when Paul McCartney dies and you write and it's like
star
it's like,
of the Wings.
Wings it's singer. Like lead singer of Wings dies. You know, it's
vegan Wings singer dies.
It was just like, what? It was almost like it was like a millennial who didn't really know who it was. It was like, what was he in? Oh, I've only heard of these two things. 90210, what's that? It's like, oh my God.
But it's pretty, I mean, I know you don't like Riverdale, but I think he did a great job as Archie.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I know.
I saw a headline that production of Riverdale has been actually shut down.
Yeah, it's not like he was a small character that came on every now and then. He's in every episode.
Apparently, that's what I hear.
I don't know how they're going to do
I was shocked and really sad. Like, and I think you guys, like, I wrote about it on social media a bit, and it hit, I don't know why it hit me so hard, but it really did.
I think I know maybe part of the reason is because he's basically our age, right? He was our age.
He was our age, a little older, but not much.
Yeah, like, I know Martin and I have had these talks, but with Luke Perry passing away, Selma Blair, right? She has MS. Mm-hmm. She's like our age. It's just like, ugh, we're getting old.
Well, yeah, it's true.
Except for Dan.
Dan'll be young forever.
I'm feeling old.
Oh,
one gray hair and that red beard.
You know,
of his.
And then the same day Luke Perry died, King Kong Bundy died.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get into it too deep, but King Kong Bundy had such a. I met him twice. And the first time I met him, I don't get too much into it, but he had a massive impact on me, my career, my life, the way I look at society, just by a simple piece of advice he gave me, which I will never share to anybody because it's the secret of my success and I don't want to give away my secret formula. Yeah. But what's ironic about it is that with King Kong Bundy, I'm not a wrestling fan. I'm an arts and culture writer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wrestler who gave me a piece of advice that shaped my career.
Mm-hmm.
And it proves to you that you need to sometimes shut up and listen to anybody, because the most unlikeliest person could give you that secret to shape mm-hmm. everything. Who would have ever thought a wrestling bad guy would do that for me?
Yeah.
And it's true. And 10 years after I met him, I was able to meet him again and thank him for that.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Well,
and he said, oh, I misspoke. I actually meant to say this. And you're like, oh, if I had followed that advice, I'd be nowhere.
I was in one panel. It's funny. I was kind of only in there because I wanted to be in the next panel. John Rhys Davies was in there. He's from Lord of the Rings, but he was also in Sliders, which love Sliders. And he said one thing. And I, after I heard him say this, I told my kids the same thing. He said, I guess he said this to someone else, but anyways, he said, make sure you find a job that you love so much that you would do it for free, but just make sure you get paid for doing it.
Wow.
And I was like, well, too late for me, but I mean, being the age I am, but girls, this is what he said. Yeah. It's, you know, this is true.
It's true.
But I thought it was great advice.
Did you see the news who died today? That's him, Jan Michael Vincent.
You know the sad thing, though?
What?
He died in February, and it's just coming out today.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, he died February 10th.
Why so long?
I don't know.
Wow.
Cardiac arrest.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never watched Airwolf, but he was a teen idol back in the 70s, and I remember my favorite was when he was really young, he did a film with Charles Bronson called The Mechanic.
Okay.
And that's my favorite thing he did. And then he was also in a surfing movie called Big Wednesday with William Katz and, who's that dead guy from Greece?
Oh.
The guy from Greece who died.
The one that was in Taxi?
Maybe?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I've never seen Greece.
What?
Yeah.
That's okay. You sometimes you get, hey, I just saw the... Back to the Future movie.
Trilogy,
so
yeah, that's true.
It's been, man, I just tell you, people kicking off. You know who I think has, there's two people I think have the longest, celebrities have the longest rate of death, like where they die and it takes a while for us to find out. I think the first one definitely goes to the woman who played Vera on Alice. I think she was dead 3 years before her husband actually announced it to the press.
Yeah.
But the longest definitely goes to the guy, Neil Hope from Degrassi Junior High. Who was dead for years and years. He died in a flop house or something. Thank you,
Christine. It was Jeff Conaway. Yeah, that's
Jeff
who
Conway.
I was
yeah,
he was in Taxi,
but he wasn't in Big Wednesday.
No,
never mind. Anyways,
yeah, I don't know why that the news took so long for.
Wow,
it's very strange.
It is very strange. Wow. Maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's just frozen somewhere, and they're just waiting for him to die of. What did he? He died of cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just trying to find a cure for his heart attack, and we'll bring him out of freezing.
I think
just like when they with John, he's right next to John Wayne and Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. what was I going to say? Blue Thunder. It kind of came out at the same time, right? Mm. Like Helicopter. I mean, helicopters with guns and stuff.
It
was pretty cool. I mean, Blue Thunder was awesome.
You know, I'd like to watch it because Ernest Borgnine was in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah, he was co-pilot, right?
I don't know. I've never seen the Airwolf.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
I don't know. I should watch that right after
He was.
Okay.
I believe he was, yeah.
Yeah. I'll watch Airwolf. You should watch The Mechanic, man.
Yeah. Great. Dan, Airwolf was a show back.
You guys have talked about Airwolf a
you know
lot.
Who's
I've seen The Simpsons spoofing
Do you know
Airwolf,
who's a big fan of Airwolf, and we'll talk about it to nauseam, is Marty.
Yeah.
Oh,
Marty loves Airwolf.
I mean, they use the same footage every time.
Every time. But only in season five. And I wouldn't have known that Marty's told me that story a few times. So.
I legitimately love that I know facts about Airwolf from sitting in this booth listening to Marty talk about them.
I think I had models of both.
Oh, did
Blue
you?
Blue Thunder and Airwolf.
And Airwolf? Oh, imagine if they fought each other.
Well, they did sometimes in my basement. Schneider? What's the Blue Thunder? The guy was in Jaws. Schneider, right?
Schneider, yeah. Roy Schneider.
Man, there's so many movies I got to pull out and watch again. Yeah. I have not seen them in a long time.
Yeah.
Even Airwolf. Anyways.
Anyway.
What else was I going to say? What else happened this week? So. Captain Marvel officially came out last night.
I didn't know that.
Every movie does that. Today is supposed to be the opening, but they come out the night before.
Really? I'd kind of like to go see that.
Yeah. So it seems to me, I mean, I don't even want to get into the mixed reviews because they're just ridiculous.
You know what? No matter if it's good or bad, the internet's going to hate it.
Yeah.
And the fans are going to hate it.
DC fans are going to make up crap about Marvel movies, and Marvel fans are going to make up crap about DC. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
You got to go and make your own opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Spider-Man Homecoming, everyone knows how I feel about that, but I went to see it.
I didn't know you had a bad opinion on it.
Well,
I loved it, man. It's like one of my favorite superhero movies from the last number of years. And I have not been on the show since it won the Oscar. Yeah.
Right, you're talking about...
You're talking about a different one.
Oh, wait, I'm talking about Enter the...
Spider-Verse.
Oh, I hated that.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
But
You know what? It wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be. You know, the only way I saw that, Marty bought the DVD and gave it to me.
Watch this.
And it was all right, but I kind of hated it. Like, you know what I mean? It's not what I wanted.
It was fun.
It was okay.
Tom Holland's great.
I guess.
He did good. Avengers was good.
But doesn't it prove now with the success of Enter the Spider-Verse how if they had done a Miles Morales film, it would have hit?
I don't
or
know
does
if
that,
I can agree
or
with
does
that.
Or does that open the door
yeah,
for them to
it
do? It opened the door for a Miles Morales film.
Because last time you and I talked, I hadn't seen it, but I have seen it now, and I thought it was great.
Oh, it's great. It's so good. Yeah, I did get the mix. There's so many different Spider-Man movies. I can't keep them all straight.
Yeah, I told Martin. I was in there watching the movie, and then I didn't really know who the voice actors were.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, I kept waiting for Spider-Man Noir to say, "Not the bees!" I didn't realize that Nicolas Cage was one of the boys. Not the bees! At least he was. It was good. It was. Yeah. I mean, it was exactly how I remembered Miles Morales' origin.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they kind of took the timeline and scrunched it
all
in.
Yeah, but they have to always do that with these things.
But yeah. It was interesting. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Same thing with Bumblebee. I finally saw that. Oh. I hadn't seen that. And I tell you, that has, as much as the Michael Bay or whatever movies were slow motion, fine, they were okay, and Megan Fox, but there's just something about them that were, I don't know, they weren't the best. The robots just weren't my Transformers.
Mm.
But watching Bumblebee
on board.
He's, you know, the fact that it's so funny because it is a prequel. It shows him coming to Earth and he actually is a Beetle, like a Volkswagen Beetle for the first part anyways. But the opening scene with the battle on Cybertron, the robots were right out of the 80s cartoon.
Wow, really?
Like they weren't anything like the ones, the versions in the Michael Bay movies. They were awesome. Like, you know, ejecting the robot or the cassette tapes, ravage and stuff from his chest, sound wave. It was just like, oh, this is awesome.
Wow.
So I that really, and a lot of people have said this, that they just kind of got that their faith has been restored. Because apparently, word is they're basically going to say the other movies didn't exist. They're rebooting This is one reboot I agree with.
Okay.
They're rebooting the Transformers movies based off of Bumblebee.
Bumblebee. Well, that's good.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was good because the opening scene had a lot of robots, mm-hmm. but they weren't overwhelming like the other movies were. And then the rest of the movie was Bumblebee versus two Decepticons that were trying to find him. Okay. And that was it, mm-hmm. right? So it wasn't overwhelming.
I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen a Transformers movie. And I've never been a fan of the franchise. No, I didn't play with Transformers as a kid. Yeah. I watched the cartoon, but I liked G.I. Joe better.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
Based on what you told me, I will watch it.
I would say...
I will watch it and see what I think.
Because it's good, because you mm-hmm. don't have to watch the other Transformers
good.
Movies.
Okay, I'll take a look at it.
And I know it's sci-fi, I know it's not real, but it was more realistic.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, when they're on Earth, Starscream looks like
a jet.
Starscream jet, okay, yeah, right? And mm-hmm. the fact that there was only two Decepticons chasing him, it just wasn't overwhelming. It was great. And they were also triple changers, which means they transformed into a vehicle.
I know what triple changer is.
It was like, this is cool.
You know, though, I believe that the more characters you put into a movie, the better, the worse. That's why I've still not seen that Avengers film everybody carries on about.
Yeah,
I've never seen it because I don't want 99 characters in a movie.
Yeah,
but
at least at the end it got cut down to 45.
I suppose. Anyway,
so, but I guess people going back to Captain Marvel, I guess people are, I don't want to say emotional, but a little choked up at Stan Lee's last.
Is that his last then? Yeah. Okay, I thought. Spidey was his last. Spider-Verse.
He did film.
He did do a. Oh yeah. Wow!
And I guess
that'll be.
I guess because this movie takes place, '80s? I don't even know.
In the past, whenever.
In the past, people appreciate that more because it's not just. I wonder if they've made Stan look a little younger, like they did with Professor X and stuff and Princess.
Oh Knight. Man!
I don't know.
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
But, well, I'm looking forward to it. And I haven't looked forward to a comic movie in a while, but I want to see this. I want to see what happens.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
I think it looks like a lot of fun.
Mm.
I was reading an article about Brie Larson. And because, I mean, you know, if we don't want to touch on the controversy regarding the reviewers and all the stuff, right? But, like, this is something a little bit different, which is just that the article... Because she said she's using her platform as Captain Marvel to try to make things more equal for reviewers, so they're not just like old white men reviewing movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the article, though, took what she said and then put, I'm just using my platform as Captain Marvel, and then parentheses, the character, parentheses, as if to say, just so you know, she's not actually Captain Marvel, like, in real life.
Right.
And I died laughing at that. Like, that they had to put this in, like, the character. Like, hilarious.
Wow.
Like just Wednesday on the comic book forum on Facebook, some guy posted two reviews in two different newspapers saying the movie wasn't very good. It's like, so what? These guys... are two guys out of how many billion of people in the world that just didn't, they thought the movie was okay.
Look, you don't get more movie snob than I do. And I think out of all of us in here, I'm probably the snobbiest movie guy. With Dan is probably the second snobbiest.
I just ordered 39 Ingmar Bergman movies.
Yeah, so. See, that's what I'm talking about, right? And, you know, I'm the one who walked around for the last couple of weeks going, I don't need to see A Star Is Born. I've seen the original Judy Garland one. I've already seen it. I know how it ends. I don't need to see it. You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm that guy, all right?
Yeah.
But one thing I know for a fact is, like, I can tell you movies that tanked at the box office that I love, movies that were huge at the box office that everybody loves that I don't like. And in the long run, I did film in school. And one of the lessons that we got right in the get-go is it's up to the individual to make sure if it's good or bad. But when you say you liked it or you don't, you need to figure out why. Mm-hmm. And you need to articulate that in an intelligent way. And this is what we did in 5 years of film. And that's why sometimes people say, well, you know, you overthink it. And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to figure out why I liked it or why I didn't. How did it connect me or why I didn't? So, like, Adam Bishop, our buddy Adam Bishop, loves Waterworld. loves Waterworld, which I and most of the world thinks is a piece of garbage.
Same.
But Adam Bishop loves it. And as long as Adam Bishop can tell me why he loved Waterworld, then it is legitimate and it is right. He is right and nobody in the world can touch that. You just need to legitimately tell me why you like it. Just not say, oh, that just sucked. It didn't make sense. It sucked. You know, you need to legitimately tell me why. You need to watch it and tell me why.
Right.
You know, I know on the other hand, people say, well, Tweedle, you didn't watch that stupid Fantastic Four film. I just knew it wasn't something I was going to enjoy. I just knew I didn't want to spend my 2 hours on it. So that's, I think, fair as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's a personal choice.
Well, I'll say, Adam, that I did like it. I don't know if I loved it, but I did like it. But I love any kind of apocalypse future movie, right?
Oh, God. But, well, some of my movie tastes are pretty damn questionable.
Yeah.
You know, I am the first to admit it, but...
To me, it was like Road Warrior, but on anyways, that's just me.
So, talking about personal tastes and trying to figure out why you like something or not, you ready to go down this wormhole, my friends?
Yes.
All right,
let's go.
So, I don't know if it was last week or this week. I don't know when this damn thing was released online. I shouldn't say damn thing. Let you to be the judge. And that's what I want. I want to know. I sent, there was a, what was this thing? It was a video put on YouTube of the cast of Star Trek Discovery.
Singing the song from Rent.
What's that song called? It's called...
500 mile or 100
no,
mile.
No, it's called Seasons of something or another. I've seen the big song. Yeah, I've seen Rent a couple of times. I'm a theater guy, and you know, when I'm driving home on the way home, I'm like,
I know the song.
I know what it's called now. Well, anyways, so it is the members of the cast of Star Trek Discovery. Is that what it's called? Yeah. I've never watched it. I've never seen the show.
You need to watch it.
Do you think I'll like it?
Oh, I think so.
Well, anyways, they are singing this parody of this song from Rent. And it breaks out into a chorus about saying what part of their success is nerds. And they start singing about nerds. And I'm watching this, and I started to get very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable with the tone. There was something about this video that I really hated. And I got upset. And it was one of those things that bothered me. Now, as I said, when something bothers me or I have an emotional reaction to something I see on media, I spend a lot of time...
stewing over it,
thinking about it, and stewing why it. It's about the why. It's not about the oh, that was just dumb, I didn't like that. What is it about something? I do a lot of that, and this one really stuck with me. And I realized that over the last number of years, nerd culture, geek culture, it became incredibly trendy, and all of a sudden, it became part of our modern society. But has it gotten to the point where it's now starting to turn around again, where they're not laughing with us or laughing at us? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been seeing this go on with, you guys have heard me rant about Big Bang Theory for years. Mm-hmm. And I have always felt Big Bang Theory laughs at us, not with us. Because a lot of the jokes aren't based upon the actual geek culture. It's about how socially awkward these people are. Mm-hmm. And I find them to be very negative stereotypes. Okay, and have we got to the point, and the whole point of this thing is that the reason we can do this is because nerds keeps us going. Is the commentary that they're saying on this is that the whole movie industry, the whole marketing industry is because the corporations have come up with a cash cow where they're like, if we keep producing this stuff, the nerds will buy it. Are the people that are making these decisions, are they one of us? Are they part of us? Or are they exploiting us?
Oh, it's money. Okay. It's all about money. It's all about expectations.
But then I start bringing it further. Nerds, geeks, these terms, okay? These terms, both the term nerd and geek, have their roots in extremely derogatory places, okay? Yeah. Negative places. And I used to rant about this years ago, and I kind of gave it up for a number of years, thinking that I was just wrong and everybody was right. But for the first time in a long time, I started to get worked up again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The term nerd. First, the origin of the term nerds was in the 1950s. And it's a term that came out in the 1950s. And it was to... It was a derogatory term for anybody who was socially awkward, socially unacceptable. Like, you were either cool or you were a nerd. Yeah. Okay. And it was a term for being the outsider, the loser. And it was a 1950s term. And I mean, and that kind of, we all still feel the impact of that term. Mm-hmm. Okay. Somewhere it was taken back, but I don't know when it was, because it wasn't the 80s. If you watch a film like Revenge of the Nerds, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. that's the classic, yeah. you know, juvenile man child.
Yeah.
You know, and I like to think that fandom and people like us, we aren't like that. We aren't these juvenile man children. Mm-hmm. We really aren't. We are sophisticated people, and this culture is extremely sophisticated. Okay. And the term nerd generally takes away the sophistication. Okay. The term geek is the worst term of all. Because what a geek originally was, it was usually a person that was mentally disabled, mentally challenged, that was usually sold to the circus by their family to be in sideshows. Mm. And these were people usually with extreme autism, and they would roll around in their own feces and bite heads off chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I've done a lot of research on sideshows, because I do research on everything. And a lot of time that they were not exploited, they were actually taken care of. Well, they were exploited, but they were taken care of by the freak show. Like, they became, mm-hmm. they were well taken care of, but when it was time for showtime, they were put out on display in all their mentally challenged. And it was families that didn't want to put up with this. That's what a geek is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That is the classic term of what a geek is, right? A mentally challenged person rolling around in feces in a freak show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where that term comes from.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, one, I've had people explain to me that language changes, terms changes. I understand that, but when you start talking about cultures and races, I'm sorry, those terms are not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Where does terms like geek and nerd become acceptable to the point that it's no longer something we've taken back, but it's being used against us? So this smug, and I'm sorry, that video, whatever it was, they were smug. Yeah. There was a smugness about it that ripped through me. And I am tired. Look, I come from a generation of the 80s where, you know, you were made fun of and you were beat up if you wore a Batman t-shirt or if you watched Doctor Who. Yeah. What's going on in culture today is amazing for the kids, because they're not going to grow up like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to grow up where things we love are mainstream.
Yeah.
But I still come from a generation where I remember that. And I'm losing my point here, but I did have one.
Yeah.
But the thing is I'm sick of people, you know, somebody who never dealt with that alienation going, oh, well, deep down, I'm just a big nerd. I've embraced the fact that I'm a big nerd because I like the Iron Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
It's not good enough. Are you living it or are you not? And you know what? If this is what it's become, if this is what nerd and geek culture has become, I'm not comfortable with it anymore because I'm not identifying with it anymore.
Yeah.
That's not who I am. I'm a sophisticated individual. I'm sitting in the studio with two sophisticated individuals, and I'm talking on the radio to more sophisticated individuals that don't deserve to be mocked because Star Trek's been marketing off of our exploiting us. Anyways, that's the end of my rant. I'm now because you guys are awesome and you let me rant without interrupting me. I am now going to open the floor.
Okay, so you sent me the link.
Yeah.
You asked us to watch the video, and I did. And it started. And I thought, oh, this is kind of neat. I wonder what Sam's problem is. As soon as they started harmonizing nerd, very off key, I shut it off. Like, I was, okay, this is what Sam doesn't like. And I don't like it either. Like, and to be a nerd, the reason why this show is so popular is because of Trekkies, not nerds. Like, if you want to get to the point.
They're the same thing.
Well, they're a subclass of, you know what I mean? So the reason why your show is so popular is not, well, they are nerds, but they should be called Trekkies.
But are they nerds?
Have you ever seen a Trekkie that isn't a nerd, though?
Yeah. I have, actually.
Some people, I mean,
some
I'm sure there's people
Star
out there.
Trek and they're not.
Yeah, yeah, they like sci-fi. So what? Doesn't make them a nerd. I mean, doesn't.
Liking sci-fi makes you a nerd.
But does well, it?
Yes. That's, I guess that's the thing. Like,
I don't think I am a nerd.
You're wrong. Sorry. I'm sorry, Sam.
Sorry. You are.
How many
I
long
am,
boxes did you move today?
It's not. Yeah.
Touché.
I know what you mean
Touché.
About it being used in a negative way.
Yeah, but, do you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've seen Revenge of the Nerd movies and, you know, all types of different things where nerds were, you know, beat up and picked on. And one place you and I differ is Big Bang Theory, because Christine and I watch it all the time.
I know. And we'll never agree on that.
Yeah, I mean,
and I accept the fact we'll never agree on that, and I still like you, Chris.
I know. The premise was,
you know, if when I'm going through stuff and I accidentally touch a Big Bang Theory piece of merchandise, it burns. It actually burns.
I mean,
it's true. It's like friggin' holy water on a vampire.
I can sit there and point out, you know, like, the original basis of the show was two nerds, but they're scientists. They like comics and sci-fi. Getting this young girl, who is the complete opposite, and their worlds coming together, right? And that was the basic premise of the show. But
one time somebody challenged me to watch season one in its entirety,
yeah,
and said, after you watch season one in its entirety, then you can have an educated opinion. Right? Yeah. Film studies, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did watch it.
Yeah.
And guess what? I hated it even more.
Well, I mean, I can say a few things. I mean, it has gone the way of Friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, married, kids. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of grown up with these kids. But I can also sit there. I mean, when I know Sheldon and Howard have a bet, and they Sheldon loses it, and he has to give Howard his Flash 120, Martin would tell me.
123.
Thank you. He goes to his safety deposit box and gets it. And he walks back in. You don't see that, but he walks into the lobby and it's just in a bag. There's no board, right? So, and I see them reading comics with the covers folded over. Yeah. You know, this is the nerd, quotation marks, nerd in me saying, okay, I see what they're trying to do, but they're not really doing it, right? Because, but anyways.
I know what you're saying. It's like when I'm here at Trent Radio and I walk into the archive room, mm-hmm, and I see all those records not in plastic bags. Yeah. Savages.
But on the other hand, I do agree where the superhero genre has in some cases become a fashion statement, mm-hmm, right? Because we all know I have my booth out at Lakefield.
Yep.
I've got thousands of comics for sale. How many times have I seen somebody walk? I see somebody, oh, he's got a Captain America shirt on. Awesome. You know, he's going to come look at my comic. Doesn't even look twice. Not even once at them.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. This guy is not into comics.
Yeah.
He's wearing, maybe he likes the movie. I don't know. But he's not a comic fan.
Mm-hmm.
He just like, and I've seen every kind of shirt out there, Captain America, Hulk, Wolverine, people just walk on by. Like, they don't even have a second look. So you know they're not into comics.
Hmm.
They're just doing it as some kind of fashion statement.
Cool, yeah.
Even other vendors. They go, like, well, now, if I'm not there, right? He goes, well, this one guy walked up and he had, like, a Marvel shirt on, but he didn't even look at the, he looked for 2 seconds and walked away. So it's not just me that notices it, right? Yeah, like, it's like, so that's, you know, so that's, it is like a cool thing. And we've seen that at Fan Expo.
Yeah, we do.
Like, what percentage of people would you not consider a nerd at Fan Expo? Like, I'm thinking it's, I don't know, we're going to go say 50-50?
And back when it was just the nerds 15 years ago, there was only about 700 of us going, right? Yeah. And it was manageable.
First one I went to was on the second floor. Like, you walk in and you go up the escalators where the little floor is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Me too. Hey, who was the guests?
Emma Caulfield, but I think she canceled from Buffy.
Okay.
That's where I met Peter Mayhew.
Yeah.
A couple guys from...
Was that when Kevin Smith was there?
No.
Okay.
No. It was a couple guys from Enterprise, Star Trek Enterprise. So that tells you how long ago it was. Right?
Okay.
But that, I mean,
Scott Bakula
was
is Dracula.
Oh no, oh, it was two of the other guys. Not, I would have loved to meet Scott Bakula, but Peter, I mean, I got to meet Peter Mayhew.
Yeah.
I didn't get his autograph, but I did get a picture.
I've met him and got his autograph.
I don't know where it is anymore. But
let me ask you before we get we use up the whole hour, Dan. What's your take on it? You watched the video.
I did watch the video. I probably watched longer than Chris. Like, I didn't watch the complete video. But I watched, you know, like, it was like, I don't know, 2 minutes, right? And I watched like a whole minute of it. Mm-hmm. And it, I don't know. See, the thing is, you know, I think I just have a different perspective than you guys. In that, like, you know, I grew up on shows like The Office and stuff that mm-hmm. were completely cringy. And so I watched this and I was like, this is just cringy, like The Office. Like this, it feels like a bad joke mm-hmm. that they're doing, you yeah. know, mm-hmm. not like a statement that, you know, they're building their empire on the backs of nerds.
I don't think they were making a statement. I thought they were trying to be coy.
Yeah.
But it backfired into smug and insulting.
A couple of them really couldn't sing.
The worst part was that they couldn't sing. The least they could do is have it, like, actually harmonize.
Yeah, I guess.
But, like, also, like, Sam, because I was a kid in the 90s.
Yeah.
And you were a kid in the 80s.
Yeah.
And being a kid in the 90s, it was still very similar to being a kid in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't cool to like comic books, you know. Mm-hmm. I was a geek and a nerd, as the terms applied back then. Mm-hmm. You know, I got made fun of.
I've seen pictures of you, Dan. I was probably the one who made fun and beat you up. And I was beat up and made fun of.
Oh man.
The circle of nerd violence. I don't know. I think that, like, for me personally, even if they were literally like pointing at me and going, "Ah, we're making money off you, you nerd," I would just be like, whatever. I'm too apathetic to actually care.
That's because you're a 90s kid.
I'm just going to go listen to some grunge music. And,
yeah, that's fine. Hey, do you guys want to hear a really funny story about how misjudging somebody's fan knowledge mm-hmm. because of who they were backfired on me?
Is this where you told the actress she was in a certain movie?
No. This is really,
yes, you were. No, this, yeah, yes,
this
you
is,
were.
This is really funny. So you guys know the pop singer Lights.
Lights, yeah.
Okay, and she's written a comic and she's done all this stuff. Well, when I met and interviewed her before she got famous, like about literally a couple of weeks before Drive My Soul went to the top of the charts. Mm-hmm. And she was here in Peterborough and I contacted her people. And so we actually sat down and we had coffee and we talked. And oh my God, I fell in love with her. Like she was something else. She's beautiful and she's interesting and she's creative and she's this and that. But all I was seeing was a pretty girl pop singer. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me, oh, you know, I've really gotten into comics. I love comics. I'm really into comics. I'm like, oh, and in my head, I'm thinking, oh, that's cute. Pretty girl likes comics. I'm like, oh, really? So what comics are you reading? And she's like, well, I really, really like Wonder Woman. Which makes me go, of course. Yeah. And she's like, and also Magnus Robot Fighter.
That's kind of random.
And I kind of go, what? And I went, what? Like, I was surprised. And she goes, oh, you don't know? See, it's a book from the 60s. I'm like, no, I know what it is. And literally Lights started to mansplain Magnus Robot Fighter to me. And I was like, okay, you've proved your cred. I'm just going to go shut the hell up now, you know? And oh my God. So, again, just like I was saying about King Kong Bundy, sometimes you just don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't judge people because they're going to come back you and they're going to hit you over the head with Magnus Robot Fighter. Wow. Yeah, so it was like, all right, sorry, yeah, you you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So basically, Dan, you're not as offended or offended at all.
I'm not offended at all because, like, it's just water off a duck's back.
Mm. Wow. Just it's interesting whatever. How we have, like, just different levels of it, where he's just like, nah, and I'm like, I'm going to give up nerd culture forever.
I'm just like, whatever. Like,
but, like, here's the thing.
You're kind of in the middle between the two of us, you know?
If you give up something because somebody calls you a nerd, then who's the real loser?
Yes.
Well, this is a thing. Where do I stand on this? First of all, I have decided because of where it is now, and as I said before, I think this is great for the kids growing up today. Mm-hmm. Because, my mom runs a daycare, and I go and I talk to the kids, and they know like I show them my tattoos, the Black Harry Zatanna, they know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great. And these kids, the kids today are not growing up with the same stigmas about nerds and geeks that we did. And there's hope for the next generation of you know, they're just not going to have the same stigma. They're just not going to.
Yeah.
And it's too bad that we can't erase the same stigma with race,
yeah,
culture, religion, all the stuff that we see going on in the U.S. and around the world when it comes to, you know, prejudice. Let's face it, the ones that maybe hit us old white guys the most, mm-hmm, is the one that's going to be erased. Oh, isn't that typical? My God, the more I go down this wormhole, the more asshole I sound like. I'm so sorry I said that. But anyways, all right. Anyways, my God, we suck as a society.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but white men are an endangered species as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, well,
but
anyways, let's not go down that wormhole. So anyway, oh my God.
You know, because there's more,
oh my God,
still stuff coming out.
Okay. Oh,
Marvel wants to make an all-female movie and half of them have to be lesbians and transgender, and it's like, oh. Anyways,
let's not go down that. But anyways, I'm just saying that you know, it's too, I think it's great for the kids. I really do, because we're not, you know, like one kid says, I think Superman's cool, and the other kid says, yeah, and I think Iron Man's cool, and they're like, all right, let's be friends. You know, yeah, what I mean? Like, yeah, it's so it's not that they don't have the same. I mean, it's like, where was I? You know, I was, yeah, born too late. But I do realize that I am, once again, uncomfortable with the word nerd and geek. I will not identify myself as either of those things. I will correct anyone who does identify me as either of those things. I will be, if anything calls itself Nerdfest or Geek Day or Geek Fest, I will think twice before participating.
Not to mention berate them with multiple emails. And
No, I won't go that far. I won't go far. I mean, it's kind of like, I'll do it more like this. Like someone, if I'm at the Walmart and someone comes up and says, hey, do you want to use our cash, our checkouts? I'll go, yeah. If I wanted to check out my own stuff, I'd work at Walmart. you know what I mean? But it'll be more like that.
But technically,
you know,
you're not allowed to check out your own stuff at Walmart. It's against policy.
Okay, well, anyways. But, but you know, it's more like if someone questions me about, yeah, it, I'll make some kind of passive aggressive remark,
mm-hmm,
but I won't, you know, if anybody wants to call their event, you know, nerd convention, they can. I'm not going to write them. I'm not going to be a dick about it, mm-hmm, but I might go. I mean, you know, you get Christopher Plummer there,
you're,
I'll probably
gonna
show up.
You're going to be the guy outside with the megaphone.
No, I'll never be that guy.
How the tables have turned.
I'll never be that guy. Oh, I was thinking, you know what? I have the greatest idea. Dan, we should get Dan in on this one. Dan, because he's perfect. He looks the role. You know what we got to do this year for Fan Expo? We got to get Dan, or someone who looks like Dan, to dress up as Jesus. And then when these guys come out and they start yapping about how Jesus doesn't like comics and stuff, Jesus should go. And
a clap of thunder, a smoke bomb, and I appear.
No.
I proclaim the 11th commandment, thou shalt love comic books.
What we got to do is we got to have Jesus with just a box of comics in front of them, just giving free comics out.
Yeah.
To people strolling
just
down.
Don't,
like,
don't say anything. Just
bleeding, the bleeding cool headline, Jesus likes Marvel Comics.
But you know what I mean? I just wouldn't that be a hilarious idea?
I see at least one person dressed up as Jesus at every convention I go to. So yeah, yeah, you just got to go find him.
You just find that guy dressed up as Jesus and just give him a box of comics. So just stand in front of these guys,
yeah,
and just give out free comics. You see somebody dressed up as a character, give him a hug. Go, thank you, brother, for coming out as Elektra. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Whatever. You
before,
know? Well, brother. I don't know why brother would be Elektra. But
there's a slight incline on that hill where that guy is. So you need to get him to, you need to get this guy dressed as Jesus just to stand there staring at him for like 10 minutes. And when he's
shaking
sees them,
his head disapprovingly,
else, yeah, everyone else deny. What are you? We don't see anything. What are you talking about?
Oh my God. I just think that'd be hilarious. And I think so. I will pay somebody $50 to do it this year. If you're out there, challenge. The challenge is $50. I'm going to give you $50. I will give you $50 and a copy of Star Wars number one. Oh yeah.
Can it be an overweight fat Jesus? Because I do that. For Star Wars number one.
$50.
Who's got a wig for Chris?
$50 and a copy of Star Wars number one.
Oh.
Because I got a copy. mm-hmm. to dress up as Jesus and give out free comics in front of the religious people that come to Fan Expo this year. $50, and I'll buy you Subway.
If you're interested, you can always contact the Hate Kids Comics Facebook page.
All right. Challenge.
Let's keep Sam honest about this one.
All right. No, $50, Star Wars number one, and because there's the Subway's right across the street.
Yeah.
I'll buy you lunch, too.
So I think we should mention that Arrow is announced. The TV show Arrow is done.
Oh,
after
really?
This season. It was announced yesterday or the day before. So they're going to do a 10-episode. It's next season 8, I think mm-hmm. it is, and then that's it. So, people were pretty shocked to hear that.
Yeah, well, it's the first of the shows to end.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
But it was the first of the shows to start.
Like 20 minutes, not even after that announcement, Stephen Amell came out with a live video and just, he was quite emotional, which is, you know, it's nice to see.
How many years has it been?
It'd be season 8. So season 8 will be 10 years.
Okay. Wow.
So that's what really, I was reading an article, and I don't know why, but this just kind of floored me. It says that Arrow started the year after Smallville ended. And I'm going like, wasn't Smallville like 20 years ago?
Nah,
but apparently it was only 8 or 7 years ago. I just don't see that.
I didn't finish Smallville. I loved Smallville when it started. But then it got to the point where it was like every superhero ever guest starring Superman.
Yeah.
And the smaller Clark's role got, the less interested I was.
Yeah.
I think it really changed when Green Arrow was added. And all of a sudden it became the Green Arrow show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guest starring Superman.
Not it was, played by Stephen Amell.
No. And I remember that. And you'd think, I'm a huge Green Arrow fan. You'd think I'd be, yeah, I'm in. And But no, the more I saw it, the less interest I got, and as it kept going,
How long was that on for?
I don't know.
Smallville?
Yeah.
10 seasons.
Okay, because I'm going to quote Big Bang Theory here, sorry. Because Sheldon brought up with his girlfriend if he should watch the new Flash show. Because he wanted to commit to it. If I'm going to watch it, I'm going to commit to it. And then later on, Leonard says, Sheldon tells him about Flash, and then Leonard says, yeah, Smallville almost ruined you. He goes, yeah, wait 10 years to see a guy we know can fly. So it was just
Wait, is that how Smallville ends?
Yeah.
Spoiler!
Oh, come on.
7 years spoiler. I'm kidding. Yeah. I kid because I love.
That's right.
All
yeah.
Right.
So
there you go.
The last episode, the last minute of the last episode, he actually flew.
Okay. So, now I know.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Smallville. I was never going to go back and finish Smallville. That's not something on my bucket list.
I've got two words for you.
What?
To go back and watch it.
What?
Erica Durance.
Oh, man. I met her, man.
No, did you?
Oh, yeah. I was still watching it when she was on it. I like her. I was her very first convention anywhere was Fan Expo after she joined the show. And it was her and Margot Kidder. And they were both there. Mm. And they did a joint panel. And I was one of the first people to where I raised my hand. They asked me to do a question. And my question was, have you ever met Noelle Neal? Noelle Neal, and how did she impact your role? And, of course, Noelle Neal was the original Lois Lane in the...
Black and White?
She was Kirk Allen's
Lois.
And then when they started the TV series, there was a woman named Phyllis Coates who did for one season. And then Noelle Neal was watching it going, that looks like so much fun. I was a better Lois. And they said, hey, can I be? And they fired Phyllis Coates' ass so fast and brought Noelle Neal in. But Noelle Neal was so popular as the role that the comic people started writing her to be like her from the TV series. And that's what I asked. And, of course, Margot Kidder had met her many times and talked about how wonderful she was, but it didn't influence her. And Erica Durance was, I don't know
who she is. Well, Erica Durance, she probably only knew Terry Hatcher from Lois and Clark.
You know, I have the complete series of Lois and Clark on DVD.
I like that.
I inherited it from a friend of mine's collection, and I inherited it. I've never watched a single episode.
Did you watch that, Dan? Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of
Superman. That came out when I was a kid.
I'm so old.
And in my like early teens, and so I remember watching it like Sunday nights at like 8 o'clock because my parents were watching it. So, I mean, it wasn't a great show by any standards.
But back then, it was Superman and Lois Lane on TV.
But it was the romance.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it was more, it was like, it was Desperate Housewives of Clark Kent.
Actually, Desperate Housewives came afterwards. That was actually her role after.
Before that, she was on Seinfeld. And trust me, they're real and they're spectacular. Okay, we all know what that is, right? You're not that young. You've seen Seinfeld, Dave?
I've seen Seinfeld.
All right. But someday I'll go back and I'll watch it because I do own it. I also have, from the same collection, got the Complete Adventures of Superman, the George Reeves series.
Oh, yeah.
And from the same collection, got all the Kirk Allen films. I've watched the Kirk Allen films. George Reeves, I gotta go through that someday. I've watched random episodes, but yeah, I got quite the Superman collection from that collection. Friend of mine who passed away was a big Superman fan.
I don't know. I maybe because it was the only kind of superhero show on at the time.
It was definitely one of a kind at that era. It was the only superhero show.
It's another thing I like about Supergirl, the TV show now, is that, you know, Dean Cain is her adopted father after she crashed. He's not a big role, but still, they're using characters, right? Erica Durance was on there.
They used to do that in Smallville all the time.
Erica Durance was her aunt.
Terrence Stamp was in it as Jor-El, and Margot Kidder was the replacement for Christopher Reeve when he died. And I think Jack Larson, who was the original Jimmy Olsen, showed up in it at one point. And who played played Supergirl in the 80s film?
Helen Slater.
Helen Slater played Supergirl in Smallville's mother.
Yeah,
so
she was
pretty cool.
She's in Supergirl, TV show as well.
Very cool.
Yeah. So there's a lot of homages.
You know, one of my favorite homage was, again, talking about Noel Neal, we'll end it on this, was in the first Superman movie was Noel Neal and Kirk Allen playing Sam and Ella Lane. In the train.
On the train.
And that was, that's Noel Neal, who was the original Lois, and Kirk Allen, the original Superman.
Oh, wow.
Very cool, eh?
That's nice. All
right.
There you go.
All right. So, yes, that's all the time we got for this episode of Hey Kids Comics. As always, check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and now on Spotify. And three of us will be here next week for another show.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?